Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to a very special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host today, Ryan McPherson. We got a great group of guests in studio today, but before we get to introduce them, let me remind you to please follow us on social media, Twitter, at Business Radio X. And today we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. And you can also follow Atlanta Business Radio on Twitter, at Atlanta Biz Radio. And you can find me there as well, at Ryan Redhawk. Please leave your thoughts, comments, or questions or guest suggestions you may have for us here in the studio. And now it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to the Business Radio X flagship studio, representing Mac Bookkeeping, Randy Anji, and a whole slew of guests to follow. But let's start with you, Randy. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. Thank you, Ryan.
All right. Mac Bookkeeping. You are the founder and creator of that?
I'm not the founder. Brian and Shannon Miles with Miles AG actually founded Mag Bookkeeping. Mm-hmm. I became the director about 3 years ago, and subsequent to that have become the president.
What was your background? Did you have a bookkeeping background?
Well, not really. That's an interesting journey. I actually started my career in business as a business leader and spent 13 years after that as an executive pastor for my church in East Tennessee. And by default, I became the bookkeeper, leader of finance, leader of people, and everything else that no one else wanted to do.
Because you're so good at business, they thought, well, Randy can do this.
He can do it, right. Yeah. Misconception. Right. We muddled through. If there would have been a Mag Bookkeeping back in those days, that would have been a huge blessing to me.
They would outsource that.
Absolutely.
So then your journey, you were in East Tennessee, mm-hmm. and then what brought you down to Atlanta?
Well, I spent 6 years as a church consultant following my 13 years at the church, and had an opportunity to travel around the country, meet with pastors and church leaders. And one of the things I kept seeing was how well run the churches were and what a mess their finances and books were. And began some dialogue with Brian. Brian and I had known each other in a previous, we worked for the same company previously. And sharing that observation, and an opportunity became available as Meg began to grow to come aboard as a director. Mm-hmm. And Brian reached out at that time, and the lead team interviewed. And one of the stipulations was that we would come to the Atlanta area, which we were delighted to do. And so we've been here a couple of years now.
And here we are today on Atlanta Business Radio. So yes. Tell our listeners about Mag Bookkeeping. What are the services you exactly provide for people?
We do virtual bookkeeping for churches and mostly faith-based nonprofits, but other nonprofits as well across the country. Mm-hmm. Because we are virtual, we can serve. We're serving two churches in Hawaii right now.
That's fantastic.
And Rana, in fact, that you'll meet here in a minute, is their relationship manager. So there are no, we're not bound by distance and time so much. We've got virtual bookkeepers across the country that are experts at church and nonprofit finance. Mm-hmm. And it is a real niche. And so very, very proud of that, proud of the team that God has blessed us with. And you're going to meet a couple of our clients here in a second. Delighted to work with folks like this because we see ourselves as partners into what they're doing.
Right. And so let's bring Rana into the conversation. How does a client from Hawaii find you and Mag Bookkeeping?
Well, I think when you're doing a search on the internet right now, Mag Bookkeeping comes up first, but primarily we get our clients from referrals.
Okay.
A large percentage of our client base comes to us from referrals, so it's mostly word of mouth. Mm-hmm. The church community across the U.S. is much smaller than you would think. They have wonderful networks. And so the word is out about Mag Bookkeeping, and we have raving fans who are clients of ours who can't wait to tell other people about this solution that they found for their bookkeeping and their payroll and their donor management services.
Right. Some of the best marketing can be just continuing to serve your clients, effectively, and then other business may follow. So talk about your role as a client relations manager. That's something you're actively involved talking to the people on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. What does that look like for you?
All of the above. We are the After a client signs a contract with us, we are the initial contact with the client, and we help introduce them to their bookkeeper. We onboard them. We explain to them the way things are going to work once they come on board with us. Mm-hmm. And we do our absolute best to put them at ease so they know that we've got this handled and that once they've gotten started with us, they're going to feel such a huge sense of relief.
Right. Is there a lot of this forensic accounting that you have to do when a client first comes on board? You may have to look at some old notebooks with like numbers and scratched in them. Is that part of it?
We do have people who come to us with shoeboxes full of receipts, and we handle absolutely everything. Nothing can scare us away.
Right.
Because we serve such a large, a broad base of clients, everything from church plants to multi-million annual multi-site churches. Mm-hmm. We're prepared for anything and everything. They also might come on board with us thinking that their books have been done wonderfully and everything's in excellent shape and they're payroll and such. And we often discover otherwise because people who do accounting don't necessarily know about church bookkeeping and payroll. So it's a totally different animal.
Is that right? So you've got to keep different numbers in order from a church as opposed to a regular business.
Absolutely. And our churches don't necessarily have to conform to generally accepted accounting principles and standard accounting practices because they're not audited like businesses, but our nonprofits, on mm-hmm. the other hand, they do get audited. And that is also a different type of bookkeeping than for churches.
And I imagine trust is a big part of this. I mean, just to turn all of your books over to MAG Bookkeeping, if you can't trust them, but you do it virtually. So is there any sort of face-to-face, eye-to-eye meetings with the clients, at least in the beginning?
That's a great question. Yes. When we kick off with a client, we have a virtual meeting online. And so we get to put faces with names, and it really helps build that relationship because what establishes us from our so-called competitors is our relationships. That's why we have relationship managers, and it's very important to us to establish the relationship with our clients and our bookkeepers so they do have that sense of peace. And we've had so many kickoffs with clients who they've started out the meeting so nervous, and they're worried about turning over their finances to this person that they've never met before and probably right. will never meet.
Right.
So we do our best to put them at ease, and it definitely does help to have the face-to-face.
Yes, sir. And certainly it's important each time you call or have an issue that you can talk to the same person each time. So you know when you pick up the phone, Ron is your client relations manager. You're going to talk to Ron each and every time and not somebody different who you have to explain your situation over and over again.
Absolutely. And again, that is part of what sets us apart from our so-called competitors is that relationship. They do know that they have a person that they can talk with every time. They have a dedicated bookkeeper who's going to be working on their books. So that relationship is what helps put them at ease.
All right. And let's talk about your background for a moment. When did you get involved with MAG Bookkeeping?
I was an accountant for our church in Washington State. And when I moved to Georgia, which is where MAG Bookkeeping is based out of, I did that virtually. And so I knew it was possible. Mm-hmm. And I went to work for a for-profit company for a while. And I decided that was not where God wanted me to be. And so I started looking again for church accounting or church bookkeeping jobs online. And that's when I found MAG Bookkeeping.
Right.
And when I read about Brian and Shannon Miles and heard their testimony, I knew that this was the place that God intended for me to be.
That's fantastic for sure. So going forward with you, and you're just looking to build more clients, get some more word out about your services?
Absolutely. Since I came on board almost 3 years ago, we have tripled in size as far as our clients, our bookkeepers, and our corporate team.
That's great. Let's bring in David Walters to the conversation. Now he's pastor of the Vine Church. David, tell us how you first became aware of MAG Bookkeeping and what has it done for you since taking on them as your bookkeeping?
Right, thanks. Well, we are a 9-year-old church, and I guess about halfway through our journey, our accountant, if you will, our treasurer for the church, just got a little overwhelmed with everything. And it wasn't the process, it wasn't a skill set. This guy has great aptitude. I mean, he ran as a business owner, a multi-million-dollar company. He was also kind of an on-the-side coach and consultant for other businesses. And then he was a part of our church. And so he was handling everything. But once the church started growing, mm-hmm. more monies are coming in, more monies are going out, more staff are being added to our payroll. It was just a little bit too much for him administratively. And so we started looking for options. happened to be at a mutual relationship gathering with a gentleman named Casey Graham, who owns the Rocket Company. And he had introduced us to Shannon Miles. And she was just kind of sitting in this meeting that we were in talking about strategies for generosity. And he made the introduction, got to know her a little bit, kind of found out what she was doing and what her and Brian were up to, and kind of like piqued our interest a little bit. Our treasurer was at, happened to be in that meeting. And then so we just kind of followed up over the next couple of months. And before the end of the year, we had reached an agreement with MAG that they would take over the administrative aspect of our finances.
And that's good. And since having them come on board, you can put that at ease in your mind, and the other staff can focus on growing the church, and you can use MAG bookkeeping as your ministry grows, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they have expanded with us. I think probably at the time that we brought them on, we had a $500,000 annual budget. We just last year, we were over 1.1 million. So they've grown with us. They've grown with us as we've added staff. And I tell people all the time, they function as a staff person. And they provide for us a great service. Melissa Tidwell is our specific accountant, and we absolutely love her. In fact, I don't know what Mag's plans are with her for the rest of her life, but if they don't involve Melissa, we will bring her on board.
So that's good. So you've had nothing but good success since adopting MAG bookkeeping.
Yeah, we have. Everything that we've asked for, they've done. They've made suggestions that have helped us get better. One example is Melissa was like, hey, you guys are overdoing things on kind of like a checks and balances thing. And so you're creating more work for you. If you'll scale back to this, this will be helpful. It'll free up more of your time to do other things. And so that was extremely helpful as they've kind of given us suggestions. As we've grown, we've added another campus to our ministry. And so we've got two campuses now. They were extremely helpful in kind of adapting our financial plan to accommodate two campuses.
Yeah.
And that was actually one of the easiest aspects of going from one campus to two campus was the finances, because they were so skillful and helpful in the process.
That's good. So let's talk about your campuses. You have one in Houston, Georgia. You have one in Flowery Branch. Which was the first one?
Yeah. So Houston, it was the first one. But Houston doesn't have like a good ring to it.
Yeah.
And we're near Chateau Alon. So we call it our Chateau Alon campus. It just sounds a little bit better, right?
It sounds a little classier.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a nice vineyard over there. A nice hotel. So that was our first campus. We launched 9 years ago. And we're coming up on our 9th birthday in April, actually. And so we were portable, meaning that we would set up and we would tear down. We would spend about 4 hours getting set up for a 1 hour worship service. And then we would tear down for 2 hours. And we're like, is that really worth
right.
it?
Right. So that's a lot of work.
We did that for 2.5 years. Courtesy of the recession, we were able to move into a retail space that a business owner was just having a hard time getting off the ground. And everything is new up there. It's new residential, new businesses. So just having difficulty providing occupants for the space. And so there was a pediatrician in the space, but they needed like a bigger tenant. And we needed a lot of space because we were growing pretty rapidly. So we took over a portion of that space. And then through a process, unfortunately for that business owner, where they went into bankruptcy and the building went into foreclosure, we were able to actually purchase the entire building. And so about 2 years ago, we became an owner of a facility to 23,000 square feet. We maintain our relationship with a pediatrician. So we actually have a tenant, a pediatrician, and we were able to negotiate a lower rent for the pediatrician in exchange for free visits for people in our community that do not have insurance. I know they're supposed to. I know it is
right.
against the law not to now.
Right.
But there are still people that don't. And so we are able to send at most 10 people a month to her to see these kids and the families that do not have that child care.
Well, that's great. And so, and you know, there's lots of churches out there, lots of organizations, but what do you do particularly for the community separates you from some of those other groups out there?
Yeah, I think, you know, just the intentionality to say, what are the needs around us with our physical locations? So we recognize that a church is not a building, it's people. And the church's call is to make a difference for, you know, in our particular case, for the cause of Jesus Christ. And it was very clear what that community looked like 2,000 years ago when Jesus started this movement, and what that should look like today. And so we just kind of recognize what are the specific needs, not what are the generic needs that everybody kind of talks about and when they talk about their community, but what are the specific needs in our community? And there's an interesting dynamic in our community where we have people at the highest end of the socioeconomic scale. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got gates within the gates of the gates at Chateau Alon. You know, we've got professional football players, particularly because it's close to the Flowery Branch Falcon Training Center and practice facilities. We've got professional football players. We've got entrepreneurs, business owners, and even the owners of Chateau Alon. Mm. I mean, you're talking about some of the wealthiest people, but then literally within 1 mile, you've got some of the poorest of the poor. And so we want to try to bridge that gap, and we want to try to leverage in a willful way the resources that are available for what we would call kingdom work, or mm-hmm. just advancing God's agenda in the world. Mm-hmm. And God has a very clear concern for widows, for orphans, and for foreigners, and at least in the Bible. And so what are the modern orphans look like? And in our community, those are the kids that are in foster care. There's a foster care crisis going on in the communities that surround us, to where there's an extreme shortage of homes, people that are approved to be foster care parents. So we've tried to address that issue directly by equipping families to potentially be foster parents, but also to educating other churches that are in the area. When we became aware of it, we were shocked, and we were like, well, we can't not do anything now that we know about this. And so we want to address that issue. And so we've been trying over the last year to really formulate a great plan to become an umbrella or a connecting partnership with other churches to educate mm-hmm. them and to empower them to be able to help address this crisis in our surrounding community. When it comes to modern widows, most widows in our country are well taken care of through life insurance policies or other things. But who are the modern widows in our community? And we've identified single mothers, and so we've been really trying to come alongside single mothers, support them, help them out in our community. And then we also just want to develop great partnerships with our schools that are nearby. We've got elementary school, middle school, and high school near our Chateau Alon campus, and then the same for our Flowery Branch campus. And we've been able to step into that and just say, hey, we want to come alongside you and just support your teachers. They're often under-supported. Sometimes they're pulling money out of their own, you know, purses or wallets to take care of some of their needs. And so we wanted to come alongside of that. And then just regionally, if I could mention one thing, there's an epidemic of child sex trafficking in Atlanta. In fact, we're the number one city in the nation for that. And so regionally, we're trying to partner with a mission agency called Street Grace, who's a great partner in educating and awareness of that, as well as trying to eradicate that. So those are some of the things that we do.
Outstanding, yeah. For sure. It sounds like you're really serving your backyard.
We're trying.
And growing from there. Absolutely. And certainly. So let's bring in another member of the panel here today, Andy Cook, President and CEO of Promise 686. How you doing, Andy?
Doing great. Thanks Good. For asking.
Yeah, and you're helping the foster kids, as David was just saying. That's your mission, to make sure foster kids are getting the support they need. Talk to us about 686.
Yeah, so we take our name from Psalm 68:6. Which is a real simple verse in the Bible, and it's loaded, though, with meaning. And it's a tough promise, because somebody has to live it out. The promise in Psalm 68:6 is that God will set the lonely into families. And we look a little bit deeper in the verse, you see exactly what David's talking about. You see the lonely really being widows and orphans. And when we look at orphans today in the United States, you look across the country, and there's 400,000 children in foster care, and 120,000 of them are children that could be adopted today, but most of them will wait. And the longer they wait in the system, the more likely they are to have really, really tragic outcomes, not only the outcome of being passed around and have a sense that they are not permanent wherever they may be, but also the outcomes that come down the road of being in prison. And mm-hmm. you looked at pretty much every state in the nation has a prison population where about half of those inmates had an experience with foster care. Or even to what David was saying earlier, when you look at sex trafficking and children who are trafficked, about 60% of those who are ultimately trafficked had an encounter with the foster care system. So one thing we try to do at Promise is look systematically at these issues for vulnerable children and say, let's use a tragic metaphor. Let's take a river. Mm-hmm. And here we are positioned, our ministry, positioned to care for orphans and for foster children. And we see these children tragically coming down the river and they're drowning. We know these outcomes. If we see where this river goes, we'll take them to a very, very bad place. Homelessness is another factor that comes in their futures. And we look at that, and our position is if we could find enough families in Georgia, we could rescue so many of these children out of this river. And in fact, there are 10,000 churches in Georgia, a lot of potential clients for MAG bookkeeping too. 10,000 churches that could just have one family that's fostering in their church. And that would really address the foster care crisis in the state of Georgia. There are 12,000 children in foster care, 10,000 churches, and with sibling sets, if each church would simply have one foster family recruited out of their church and well support it so they didn't quit, which is something we can talk about, mm-hmm. that would make all the difference. But that's our piece in this troubling metaphor of children who are struggling in our society, and they're coming down the river, but you can move farther upstream. And that's where churches are best positioned to make a difference in their local community and try to rescue these kids before they get into this river of despair, mm-hmm. and to be connected to local families, to help families and single moms before that family falls apart completely and those kids become part of our system.
That's good work that you're doing for sure. Can you share with our listeners a church or organization that you were able to open their eyes about this crisis that's going on, and then the good work that they were able to adopt thanks to you and connecting the drowning children and the churches willing to help people?
Well, that's a great question. We've got 80 church partners right now, and frankly, we need thousands. Mm-hmm. So we are in all of our excitement in the last couple of years doing this work. We're still a drop in the bucket. And we're having to build sustainable systems, which we should come back and talk a little bit about MAG bookkeeping, because they have made a huge difference.
Right. It frees up you and your organization to go out there and do more work, because you're not spending all this time trying to balance the sheets.
Exactly. And for us, you know, stewardship is a big deal for churches and a big deal for nonprofits, and transparency. And transparency equals accountability. If we're going to be transparent, which we are, we want to look good. Mm-hmm. We want our books to shine. And particularly as we grow, and we've grown immensely in the last 3 years, going from a $300,000 budget to just shy of $1 million now, as we've grown, we've got to be increasingly transparent. And we need to go to bigger donors. And we need to go to larger foundations to help us grow this movement around the state of Georgia. And they want more, and particularly out of our bookkeeping. And we've found that MAG's been a huge help in that. But I want to answer your question about a particular church.
Yeah.
One church that comes to mind is Grace Fellowship Church in Snellville. Great church, multi-campus church, had a heart for helping orphans, the modern-day orphans, foster children. And we've been able to come alongside them. They're passionate. They are autonomous in their ministry. And we can just help facilitate and push and give, provide some tools here and there, mm-hmm. that help them ignite their ministry. And they went from having one or two foster families, and they're now in the teens in terms of their foster families, with over 100 different volunteers serving those families. So it's just exploded, and that makes a huge difference in a county like Gwinnett.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then if another church is thinking about it or on the fence about going down this road with Promise 686, they can look to the church in Snellville there to say, wow, this has really been enlightening for not only the, you know, the people in the congregation there, but also help furthering their mission as a church as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that churches want to be doing. They certainly ought to be doing. And they're increasingly aware. They just need somebody to say, hey, walk me through this. Take me step by step. Help me get this off the ground. And you know, church staff work so hard, and they're tapped out. And the idea of an extra program, something they believe in, that's good, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily doable. So the name of the game for us is to engage lead volunteers in church. We call them an advocate. We get them trained up. We send them to a clinic. We just had a clinic at North Point Church 2 weeks ago. 60 advocates from not just Georgia, actually some folks coming from other states, getting trained up to say, we're going to have a ministry at our church that does foster care. We give them access to a portal, to materials. We have a regional coordinator who consults and works with them on an ongoing basis. And it just gets that ministry going over the course of not just months, but over the course of years. So we're getting there bit
mm-hmm.
by bit.
Mm-hmm. And I understand you're a fairly new client of MAG Bookkeeping. When were you first exposed to them, and what's been your what's your take on so far? As you grow, I guess they're going to grow with you as well.
That's exactly right. We have a relationship manager who I had a relationship with prior to knowing about Mac, a family friend, someone who's extremely credible. Larry is a guy who I believe in. And when I learned he was working for Mag, he passed on some information to me. I thought, well, why wouldn't we do this? Mm-hmm. And really the answer to it was we will do this and we got to do it immediately because we are at a place with our staff where we had grown from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 up to 8 staff members, but we didn't have someone on our team who really had the skills to do the accounting. And as I said before, stewardship is a massive deal for a nonprofit. And to look at hiring and bring on the professional, the expert that we've gotten out of MAG, but to do that on our side just didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It was just too big of an expense. And frankly, I didn't even know how to manage that person because that's not where my English major in college really got me.
Right.
So I needed someone who had some accountability beyond even just me. And right. MAG's been huge in that. And they have grown with us. They've already grown with us in the course of 6 months.
Right. And are you the point of contact with MAG? So you have a question about your finances. Are you the one who picks up the phone and calls your relationship manager? Or do you have somebody on staff who does that?
Well, I don't know if MAG would say this is their standard protocol because I'm not sure this is a great idea, but they will let anyone on my staff call. They are extremely flexible. I am one of the contacts, but we have a business manager who processes checks as they come mm-hmm. in the door and does some of the basic processing on our side. And she's the one who primarily calls MAG.
Right, right. And is that, Rhonda, from your experience as a relationship manager, who you normally talk with within a church or an organization?
We typically have two main contacts with a client. It's either a pastor if it's a church or typically like an executive director role for a nonprofit. And then we also usually have an administrator at that organization that we deal with who handles the day-to-day mm-hmm. Work and sending us the receipts and such that allows us to do it all virtually. The relationship manager typically checks in with the leader, the pastor or the director,
right.
To make sure everything's going well. And they would have the feedback from the day-to-day contact yeah. person.
Yeah. So you're constantly in conversation with them. You're staying up to date on, the direction of the church or the organization. And as we now approach tax season, right, how does that affect you and your business? Is there more information or more exchange of conversations that need to be had?
Yes, I think there were several people on our team who did not get much sleep leading up to February 1st when a lot of the tax forms were due. But we like to take a look at their finances throughout the year so we can help them prepare for
right.
the
Don't wait till the last
season.
Minute.
Absolutely, absolutely. Our relationship managers are all accountants, so we have that background, whether it's working for a church or a nonprofit. We have the experience and we have the education to guide our clients. And we like to look at their finances. I know we're nerds,
yeah.
but it makes us really happy to look at their financial statements and to be able to offer best practices and guidance for them.
And so you enjoy looking at the numbers yourself?
I do, yeah. I do.
How about your personal accounting? Do you do that yourself or do you have someone else handle that for you?
I'm a little bit obsessive about my personal accounting. I have my budget highlighted in different colors.
Man.
So.
I think we need you on the staff over here at Business Radio X for sure, doing good work. And Randy, bring you back in the conversation here. Mm-hmm. So as you begin to grow and you look mm-hmm. forward for the balance of 2016, what are some things that we can do here at Atlanta Business Radio to help you get your voice even further out there? Are you looking for more churches? What do you guys need?
Absolutely. We're still in the early innings of this business. And really, this has only been possible for the last 6 or 7 years from a technology standpoint.
Right.
We are, we allow this to be very easy for our clients. Things live in the cloud now. And so we're leveraging technology and we're trying to stay on the cutting edge of that, but we're not losing relationships in that. It's not impersonal. It's very personal. Our clients talk regularly with their bookkeepers. They talk as needed with their relationship managers, and we're a team that rallies around issues and tries to help. Mm-hmm. I also do some CFO level coaching for leaders when they're asking larger questions about what's on the next horizon. So we are growing very rapidly. We are always recruiting new virtual bookkeepers. So anyone interested in thinking, hey, this might be for me, we welcome those inquiries. Best place to land is on our website, which is magbookkeeping.com. There's an employment tab there, as well as information about us as a company. But we are in the early innings. We are planning to grow. We're structured to grow, but we're not going to lose our core values in our growth. It's very, very important to us. We're not going to outgrow our core. One of the principles that we have at Meg Bookkeeping is that we look at what we do as a three-legged milking stool. And I know that's been used a lot, but you know, we have corporate core values that are non-negotiable. We are going to protect. We care deeply for our providers, our bookkeepers that are out there on the front lines, and so we really care for them. We connect with them. We it's a very relational endeavor as we work with them, and especially since they work virtually, we don't take that for granted. We press the issue of being very relational, and then our clients. It's got to work for our clients to work for us, and all three legs have to stay in balance. Mm-hmm. And so we're always, as we grow, we're always looking at all three of those legs and being certain that nothing is being shortchanged, or we know that's going to take us in a wrong direction.
Right.
So protecting our culture is really at the center of that.
No, and that resonates true. We hear that time and time again here in the Business Radio X studios, whether they're a small startup company or a Fortune 500, culture is everything, making sure everybody is working together to serve the same mission. What is your day-to-day life like over there at Meg Bookkeeping? What are you doing on a day-to-day basis?
A mix of things, really. I provide overall leadership for our team. We've got a terrific lead team. Rana is on that lead team. She leads the RM and the client services effort for us. We've got an HR person on the lead team. We've got a finance person on the lead team. We've got sales and marketing people on our lead team as well. And we try to provide overall direction for the team as a whole at the lead team level. So I interact a lot with the lead team. I do interact with our bookkeepers on occasion when they've got individual questions or opinions. And Oftentimes, we live in a world that you would think accounting is pretty black and white, but it's not. There are gray areas, especially when we get into issues like clergy pay, housing allowances. They're real nuanced, niche sort of tax code issues that we help people navigate and make decisions about. Churches struggle a lot, and other nonprofits as well, about, is this person an independent contractor or are they an employee? We help just solve and answer and give opinion to issues like that and share resources. So part of it's that. I spend a good deal of time in video calls with pastors just doing CFO-level coaching as well. Love doing that. Mm-hmm. And a myriad of other leadership-related things. And then the other thing where I think I add some value as a leader is that I'm pretty well-connected in church world. And I try to help from just letting us know who we let folks know who we are and that we're here. Mm-hmm. And so I spend some time with that as well. We also launched a podcast last September that I am the host of. We try to do two episodes a month, and it's called The Fully Engaged Church. We try to bring a mix of church leaders, and it is a church focused podcast now, but to try to provide resource for pastors and church leaders. And so that's been a fun thing to do as well.
Yeah, you're hosting your own podcast. Sure. How can people find that and dial that in?
It's called The Fully Engaged Church. And there is a link on our website.
Okay.
And if folks want to subscribe, you'll find we've had Brad Lominick, who used to lead Catalyst, and Jenny Catron, an author and leader in church world, folks like that on the podcast already. Brian Dodd, who's a church leader, leadership guru, and a good friend of Mag Bookkeeping as well. And a myriad of other folks on the podcast already. So I would encourage folks to give it a shot and then go back and listen to some of the previous podcast episodes.
Well, definitely. And there'll be links on our website to Randy's website where you can find out all the information about that podcast, and you can tune in and get educated on that. And David, let's ask you, as you look forward in your ministry and how you expect it to grow, and what are some things you're looking forward to the remainder of 2016 and beyond?
Well, we have had had early success, I would say, with our second campus. We just launched that last September. And so this fall, we're looking to multiply worship services at that campus. We're also in the works to add an online campus, if you will, mm-hmm. that will basically run 24 hours a day. So people can encounter God, learn more about God 24/7. Mm-hmm. And so we will have both of those multiplied by the end of this year. And then next year, we're looking to multiply two more campuses by the fall of 2017.
So. And from your perspective, do you feel that more people are embracing religion or shying away from it as this world fractures in so many different directions? I mean, what do you see? Are more people calling and wanting to be involved? Or is this, it sounds like it's growing.
Yeah, I think it's. I think there is growth. I think there are a lot of statistics that would say otherwise, that there are the nuns. It was a big kind of survey that came out just recently where there are people that are losing kind of affiliation with particular denominations, maybe mm-hmm. that their parents or their grandparents grew up with or that they grew up with. But just because they're losing that affiliation with that denomination or that brand of carrying out their faith, they're not losing affiliation with Jesus. And mm-hmm. so that's encouraging. And the other thing is that Jesus is probably the most attractive person that has ever walked at the face of the planet. Even if you decide not to follow him, you cannot argue with the guy. And so Jesus is still attracting people, still growing churches, and especially around Atlanta. I mean, I tell people all the time, the challenge of being a new church and a young church that's growing is you are in the metropolis of mega churches
yeah,
here.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
They're, you know, and so that gives evidence that when there is, you know, Jesus plus effective, authentic faith, it is attractive to community. And so that's drawing people in.
Yeah, you know, but you just, I guess I personally feel that the non-believers are out there, their voices being heard even more and amplified even more. But I don't know if that's just because of the world of the media these days or what have you. But from your perspective, the people are still coming in and wanting to get involved in community-based churches.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely a great mission field, and you hear that. You just referenced that. I mean, and typically, sometimes the minority is the loudest anyway, regardless of what genre of life you're talking about. It's definitely true, I think, nowadays with kind of our culture and where we are in perspective to our faith. But there's a great mission field. There's no doubt about it. There are plenty of opportunities to reach people. I think the church is not going anywhere. It's been around for 2,000 years, and it's mm-hmm. it's not going anywhere.
Randy?
We have an interesting perspective in that we are serving so many churches across the country. And one of the observations we made is that churches that are growing tend to have four things happening. They have very relevant worship service and teaching time. So very, very relevant, practical for people. The second thing is they do a great job with next generation. They care about young people. They also do a good job of connecting people in what I would call authentic biblical community, really helping people connect with one another. And then the fourth thing is, and this is where Andy and his team come in so well and dovetail so well, they're meeting practical needs in their community, both locally and globally. They care. They exist for others, not just for themselves. When those four things come together, churches grow. I think our culture is hungry for that because it's not just, you know, go in, wonder what's going on in there, but it spills out into the community and it ministers to people in a real practical way.
All right. And Andy, from your perspective, how are you seeing things? You know, we need more help, like you mentioned in the earlier segment about helping the foster children out there. But how can we get that message out to further to not just here in Georgia, but around the country that, you know, these folks need help?
Well, as I look around at churches and the ones that we work with, they have an incredible marriage of deep and personal, intimate worship with action. Mm-hmm. And churches are outward focused. So I think for those churches, coming and working with us is a great marriage. Mm-hmm. We can help develop them in a realm that maybe they don't know where to go. And they can come and visit our website, promise686.org. They can visit our foster care strategy site, which is livethepromise.org. And it is a simple call to churches to get up and go when it comes to foster kids. But, you know, I think I ran into an idea recently, and it was that community without service is consumerism. community without service is consumerism. And there are churches that become very insulated and they become social clubs and groups. And I think service is what really ignites the body of Christ in a big, big way and gets them out and certainly makes the difference in the world that we want to see.
And we want to help everyone in the world. And there's people all over that need help. But if you can begin to help those people right there in your backyard, first and foremost, and grow from there, I think you begin to cement that community. You begin to anchor yourself in that community and people will then come to you.
That's exactly right. And foster children they're hidden in our community. They sit in the classroom with your child and you would never know. And that's good. There's confidentiality. There's protection mm-hmm. for those kids. But to serve those children who are in need locally, that really adds to the authenticity of the witness of the church to the very people that the church hopes to attract when they mm-hmm. see that occurring. And we give grants as well. We identify numerous barriers that keep children out of families. And one of them is money. Mm-hmm. Adoption is expensive. So last year, we gave out about $330,000 in grants, and we hope to do more than that in this coming year. And MAG has come in and been super helpful in the grant process. I mean, that is a nitpicky financial process. But a lot of that money is focused internationally. And while that is wonderful, until the church addresses the local crisis first, I think they're missing a chance to really stand up tall on a stage and present to the world what they're all about.
Right. And especially here, as David mentioned, the mega churches that are in Atlanta, where they certainly have the congregation and the financial means to help so many more people out there. So we would love this to be a cause that every church can champion for sure. And they begin with kind of getting in touch with you.
Absolutely. We have a point person on staff whose job is to work with those churches to make sure that we have staff buy-in. We know that nothing happens in a church without the staff saying yes. And if we can get that, then we'll help them build an awareness campaign that'll draw in the right volunteers who will inevitably step up, and we'll pray. We'll mm-hmm. pray who's going to step up. Mm-hmm. And someone will step up to lead, and we'll get a team ready to go, and then we'll press forward with that team. But yeah, it simply starts with an inquiry on our website or a phone call to our offices. We'd love to talk to anybody about this.
Right. And from your perspective, is there anything we can do as an individual to reach out to our legislators to make sure they're doing what they need to do in the State House?
Well, that's a great question, and there's a lot of lobbying around the issue of foster care. There's deep conversations about privatization of foster care and really important topics. It's interesting, though, no matter which route our legislators go, if we don't have enough families for the kids,
yeah,
it won't really matter.
Right.
So our piece has just been to stay focused. We're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. The church, who ought to care the most about this issue, to have the people step up and welcome these children into a home.
So we definitely encourage our listeners to get in touch with Andy and his organization, Promise 686. If you're an individual or you're a church group or an organization that would like to begin to champion the cause of helping the orphan children, that's a great way to do it. So remind our listeners how they can find out more information about your services.
Yeah, the main spot to go, the quickest, simplest, livethepromise.org. Livethepromise.org. Make a quick inquiry, take you 30 seconds, and we will follow up with you, and we'll get going from there.
We're good. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. One last question before we get out for you. What do you like to do in your off time when you're not out there saving the world of children? What are some things that keep you motivated, inspired?
That's a tricky question. I've got 10 kids.
Okay. so there is no off time.
Yeah, I've got five recently adopted in the process of adoption locally. From about, late November was when that started. And then two adopted from Ethiopia and three biological. So mm-hmm. I'm all in. As they say, I drank the Kool-Aid.
Right, right. So if you're not out there at the park with his 10 children, or if he's not out there behind the desk at Promise 686 helping children, you'll find him out there somewhere in a service. What's your local home church?
I go to Perimeter Church in Johns Creek. Yep. Been there for
big campus
13 years and super involved in foster care and adoption work. And they've been a model to us, and we've been able to try lots of things with that church that we can then say, well, would this work in other places? So they've been a huge player in our work over the years.
Well, great. Thanks so much for joining us. Come on back anytime. Share some good news with us and our listeners. We'd love to feature you and your organization again here on Atlanta Business Radio. All right. And David, what about you? How can people get involved with your church or support your mission?
Well, we've got worship services on Sunday mornings, and so if they're in the area of Flowery Branch or Braselton or Houston, they can check us out on Sunday mornings. We have community groups that meet throughout the week in homes throughout the community, and so if they're looking to dig in a little bit deeper with people at that level, they can certainly do that. And then we have frequent outreach opportunities, and so they could just check out our website, connecttothevine.org, and click on the outreach tab, and that'll take them to all of our outreach opportunities. We got a number of local partners that we partner with where we feed families twice a month, backpack program, and a few other things that we're involved in, so they can get connected that way as well.
Very nice. Thank you so much for joining us. What do you like to do in your off time here around the Atlanta community?
Well, I thought I had a trump card with kids because we had 4 kids in 5 years, but I just got beat.
Yeah, it's all right.
So we're pretty busy with those kids, but my wife and I, we're kind of into fitness. We just kind of stopped doing some CrossFit.
I'm a CrossFit guy.
Okay.
Yep, so been doing it for 4 years.
We did it for 4 years. The place where we were working out moved, and so we had to look for a different kind of fitness facility, and we actually checked out Orange Theory Fitness.
Right, very similar.
Yeah, so it pushes us for 55 minutes, and we're gassed.
And you go do it together with your wife.
Yeah, well, yeah, a couple times during the week.
Nice.
We have to get in there individually.
Couples who work out together stay together. Right.
Yep. I got a different phrase off the air, I'll tell you.
Okay. So, sounds good to me. Well, thanks again for coming on the show today. If there's anything else we can do here at Atlanta Business Radio to help further your cause or amplify your voice, please let us know. We'd be happy to do so.
Thank you so much.
All right. And Ronald, what about you? What do you like to do in your off time? I know you said off the air, you said 4 boys yourself, right?
Yes. David beat me. I had my 4 boys in just under 6 years.
Okay.
So still kind of busy.
Yeah.
We are blessed to live at Lake Lanier. So water sports is really our thing. Mm-hmm. We love wakeboarding, wake skating, slalom skiing.
Right.
And then when it's too cold to do that, we love to go to the snow and snowboard.
Any fishing at Lake Lanier?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I got to get up there quite often and fish with some friends of mine, so I really enjoy it. It's great having it so close, but it's becoming very busy up there these days. Lake Lanier is as crowded as 285 these days.
It is, but like I said, we're blessed to live there, so we get to go on during the off times.
Very nice, right? Well, thank you so much. Tell our listeners how they can find out more information about you and Mag Bookkeeping.
MagBookkeeping.com, and we are also all over social media. We have a Twitter handle, and we are on Instagram and LinkedIn, and we have a social media person who does all of our social media for us, and she is part of our sister company, which is EA Help, who has social media assistance. Mm-hmm. So we have experts who tweet for us and post on our Facebook page and all of that great stuff.
Social media experts. They must be 12 years old or something. You know, those are the experts these days, the young kids. So, but yeah, at Mag Bookkeeping on Twitter, also facebook.com/Mag Bookkeeping for more information there and stay connected. Or you can call their office directly, 704-301-4391. Thank you so much, Rana. And Randy, you're the guy who put this all together.
Yes.
So thanks for making this happen.
Well, thank you. It's our pleasure to be here, and we appreciate the chance to do this.
All right. And what about you here in Atlanta? What's your favorite thing to do when you're not...
I'm actually a bit north of here, just north of Canton, up in between Cherokee and Pickens County. And I'm solar powered. I've been accused of being solar powered. I love being outside. I love to play golf. My wife and I play together, not very well. And I love to fish, especially up on the trout streams.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great outdoor stuff here in the Georgia area, whether it's fishing, hiking, or just getting out there enjoying a Sunday morning walk or something. That's a great place to do here in Atlanta. So thank you so much, Randy, for joining us. Thank you to all of our great panel guests here today in studio. We appreciate y'all taking the time and coming down here and sharing your story with our listeners. And listeners, if your company or organization is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, or your profession, reach out to us directly on the website and pitch us your story at businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor, and on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan Redhawk. We'll see you on the radio.